Our scripture is from Isaiah 60:1-6. In the Pew Bible, it's page 649. I'm going to be reading from the King James. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see, and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks.
Which version were you? You were reading King James?
Yes.
Okay. Fun to hear the King James as we're reading the New Revised Standard. And it reminds us that we are reading in English, and the Bible was not written in English, so it opens our minds.
In the Pew Bible, there we go, 181-182. And again, I'm reading from King James. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which has given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We're going to hear that narrative, the narrative about the three magi is in Matthew. And as is our tradition, we stand for the gospel that we hear out of the gospel of Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." Then King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising. until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. Have you ever heard of Helen Keller? Pretty famous name. I'm not sure if our younger generations are quite as aware that the play was The Miracle Worker, wasn't it? Yes. Helen Keller. Any idea when she died? I should have looked that up, but it's 58. Okay, so my dates are a little further off. Amazing woman. She was born and in infancy, less than a year old, she contracted something. Doctors are not sure, going by the different symptoms that they refer to, but she contracted something, and she lost her hearing, and she lost her sight. For some of you young people, you may not be aware of that or have heard that story. I can't quite imagine. I once thought to myself, I would rather lose my sight than my hearing because I love music so much. But to lose either one, what a difficult and what a struggle. And here she was without either. So communicating with the world, she was closed in, and the family was blessed enough to have the resources to hire a young woman named Anne Sullivan. And Anne worked with Helen, and they decided they were going to teach her sign language, how to sign in the palm. I don't know what that exactly means, but you spell out words in the hand. Well, how do you tell Helen that that's what you're going to be learning when you can't speak to her, she can't see? And so there was a horrible struggle trying to explain to her that they're making symbols in your hand that spell the words for the things you're about. It was a difficult challenge. And it speaks to Helen's intelligence that they got through. Here is that moment. Anne put her hand in water. And the water was running over Helen Keller's hand. And Helen spelled W-A-T-E-R. Here's what Keller wrote years later. I stood still, my whole attention fixed upon the motions of her fingers. Suddenly I felt a misty consciousness as of something forgotten, a thrill of returning thought. And somehow the mystery of language was revealed to me. I knew then that W-A-T-E-R meant the wonderful, cool something that was flowing over my hand. The living word awakened my soul, gave it light, hope, set it free. She went on to speak, to write, an intelligent, incredible woman. But that moment of suddenly realizing that those motions in the hand, those spelling, were the word water. That was an epiphany. That's what an epiphany is. In the cartoons, they have a little light bulb that appears above your head. You've seen those. Everybody on track with all of that? Psychologists have a term for that. It's called the aha moment. You're trying to figure something out, and all of a sudden it clicks. That's the aha moment. That's an epiphany. That's the secular definition of what happens. All of a sudden, it is clear to you. It comes to you. It is something that you've been blessed with, perhaps. January 6th is Epiphany, and it's always on the 6th. We celebrate Epiphany Sunday on whatever Sunday it is near there. But on this Sunday, it is about Epiphany and Epiphanies. Traditionally, we celebrate the wise men because they saw the star and responded to the star. And they understood that they were responding to God and that there was something incredible happening, and they followed that star. An epiphany.
God revealed. There are numerous epiphanies. There are numerous epiphanies all the time, but in the Bible, I'm going to lift a handful of them. The first one we just read was the Magi. God has revealed to them, this baby is going to be born. Where will the child be born? They go to King Herod hoping that they can get directions. You know, they're asking directions. They didn't have their Google Maps, and so. And King Herod is terrified. But the star directs them and takes them. Later, we will find that they gain names, and it's 800 years before some of the stories about the Magi change, and they become kings, and they have names, and all of those differences, and that kind of a mythology develops around them. But nonetheless, here are these three astrologers, the scientists of their age, who have gathered and brought incredible gifts. They've brought gold and shalimar and penicillin. Does that help us put it in perspective a little better? These are incredibly expensive gifts. The most precious medicine, penicillin. Do we realize how important that has been to us? And they kneel down and they pay him homage. They acknowledge that he is the King of Kings. The kids got it. The King of Kings. The Prince of Peace. I really worked Renee over. She agreed to be liturgist this month, and I made her read two scriptures and the unison prayer. I tell you what, she's going to be exhausted when she gets home. She did a good job reading. Isaiah, did you hear that? That was an epiphany. You see, the Jews had been conquered and had been captured, and King Nebuchadnezzar has captured them, taken all of the people that have skills that are powerful, that are important, and whisked them away to Babylon to serve him and to be in his kingdom and to help his kingdom be a greater kingdom. So they are prisoners in Babylon, and they're gone for a generation. But now Nebuchadnezzar is defeated, and they are repatriated back. And Isaiah speaks to them, "Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, for darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear for you. Lift up your eyes and look around. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice." The Lord risen upon this. It is an epiphany. It is a manifestation of the Lord. We have heard about Jesus' baptism. Did you know Jesus was baptized? You've heard that story. He goes down and John is there, and John is baptizing, and Jesus says, "I'm here to be baptized." And John says, "No, I can't baptize you. You should baptize me." And Jesus says, "Let us do this now to fulfill all righteousness." That's the gospel that we're used to hearing, but in Luke it's significantly different. In Luke the baptism is there, but John has already been imprisoned, and John is not present. Listen to Luke. This is Luke 3:21. "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice from heaven came, 'You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased.'" It is an epiphany. It is an appearance of God in the dove, an acknowledgement of the epiphany of the Christ among us, Jesus being baptized, beginning his public ministry. God revealed to the people. An Ephesians passage, the second passage that I made Renee read, and she did a great job. Paul is writing the people of Ephesus, and he's talking to them, and there's struggle. The church is going through huge struggles, and there's controversy. We don't have any controversy ever, do we? Church is never involved in controversy that we know of. That was just in days of old. Yeah. But he talks about a mystery that has been made known to him. By revelation, he says. It has been revealed to me by the Spirit, he says. It's an aha moment. We don't know if it's a dream, sleeping dream, or a waking dream, or what that, how that vision has manifested itself. But the Holy Spirit has come to him and has revealed itself. That epiphany has come. And he says, in former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. How many generations had there been Jews on the inside, Gentiles on the outside? Avoid the Gentiles, they'll corrupt you. Stay separated away from them. Don't trust them. They are pagans. They are not God's children. We are God's children. And here now, the mystery revealed, this epiphany, is that they are fellow heirs to the good news. That's a good thing. Renee, I know that you have Jewish heritage, but the rest of us, we're all pagans. We're all Gentiles. So this is good news for us. It is good news that we have been included, that we have been invited through that revelation, through the Holy Spirit speaking to Paul and speaking through to us. Well, all of those epiphanies and all those revelations, we can read about them in the history books. Or we can realize that they still exist. They still happen, and I believe that. I believe that there are those epiphanies that happen to us. Have you ever had some kind of an epiphany, some kind of suddenly you just realize, and you think, now where did that come from? But the solution is before you. And when it comes to those struggles between peoples and caring for one another and inclusiveness, sometimes we've been locked in patterns that seem to close us from one another and from God. And an epiphany comes along and opens that, and we say, aha, now I follow. Now I understand, Lord, thank you. The Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. The water flowing over her hand, and Anne Sullivan is spelling W-A-T-E-R. And suddenly, she gets it. She gets it, and it changes her life. And that was two people. Maybe God was in the midst of it. I would imagine so. But imagine the gifts that God can give us through epiphanies, the ways that we can look at how we've been, how our world is, what things are working and what things are not so much, and how we are to be called as God's people. Aha! That realization. Show us a star, Lord. Open our eyes that we might see where you are guiding us, the directions pointing us to where we should be going. Bless us with an epiphany. Open our eyes. Open our arms, open our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.